what we're going to do now, folks, is get a lot of people angry. Paul Sweeney and I are very, very good at that.
Yep.
We're going to talk housing density and the comedy, the political comedy of affordable housing. This is where I think, an entry one bedroom is, the great Ken Pruitt would say, one bedroom WBF, which is wood burning fireplace or whatever, is like $4 million or whatever. Donna Burek is our expert on this, Bloomberg tax correspondent. And Donna, I'm going to go right to the emotion, which is everybody in New York City does not want this to look at, pick your city, worldwide, high rise, high density, garbage housing. That's the emotion, and it centers around FAR 12, F-A-R 12.0. What is FAR 12.0?
Well, FAR 12.0 is based off of 1961 law, and it is very specific to New York City. So Governor Hochul this week proposed to lift the multi-dwelling law's statutory cap on the size of residential buildings in New York City. And basically, the basic zoning control on the building size is that it's capped at 12, which means that for every 10,000 square feet lot, the largest allowable residential building would have to be 12,000 square feet floor area. So if you compare that to commercial buildings or even the Empire State Building, that's very, very tiny.
So where are we here on the evolution of this, Donna? What's the appetite politically for, I'm just saying, a better affordable housing policy? I don't know how else to frame it, but what's the political appetite here?
I think it's significant. So we know that the New York City metro area routinely ranks high on the list of the nation's like least affordable cities, right? It's very behind on the, yeah, exactly. And it's also very behind on the jobs housing curve here, right? The region has failed to build at least 150,000 units relative to job growth compared to the rate in the past previous decades. So we find ourselves in a moment where we're seeing the snapback in the New York housing market, pre-pandemic, and also the sense of this potential fading of any sort of ability to live in an affordable city. We're also talking about the risk of thousands of renters possibly facing eviction with the rent moratorium set to expire in mid-January. So this confluence of factors comes at a good time when people really have a strong appetite, I think, to finally start talking about housing policy.
The success here, and I got to go back, this is even farther back than 1982
and
the inflation statistic.
Yep.
Before Eye of the Tiger.
Yep.
The El Dorado on Central Park West, built in 1930, is like what everybody wants.
Awesome.
Awesome building.
Yep.
And the problem I have, Donna, that's so important, is right now they have 7 units for sale at an average of $6.5 million per unit.
That's not entry point, is it?
That's not entry point. How do we build the Dorado we want of the future at a point that mere mortals can afford?
I think that's the question that everyone is going to be trying to reconcile, right? Because there is that ability, that entry is so high, the barrier. So Hochul here is trying to lay out a couple of different proposals that might be able to help us get there. I don't know if we'll be able to get exactly to the dream apartment that we're all dreaming for. But her plan is to, increase affordable housing and by preserving and creating about 100,000 units, right? And she's also wanting to allow existing homeowners or municipalities to allow single-family homeowners to kind of build these granny flats, right? And we've seen in the pandemic that with office vacancy rates, it's like there's a lot of hotel conversions and sort of allowing municipalities to be able to do that. Much of this, as you know, Tom, is a supply issue, right? We just don't have enough housing out there in order to kind of keep some price control when it comes to these apartments and the ability to buy.
Have those towers on 57th Street been financially successful? The things that stick up ugly in the sky, they look like Dubai or whatever. Have they been successful, Donna? Are they like FAR 15 and not FAR 12?
It's such a good question, and there are so many discrepancies between Midtown, apartment high-rises that have been able to, because of their zoning or land use, have been able to sort of bypass all of that. There's not a clear picture in terms of whether we can say they've been more profitable than other buildings.
So, Donna, is this something the governor can get done, or is this something that requires the city? I'm thinking the city council, the mayor. I mean, that makes it sound or seem even more difficult.
Yeah, so I think that, A, the legislature is going to need to be involved, and it also sounds like, based on what Governor Hochul's talked about, is that she wants New York City and Mayor Adams to be involved in this process, especially when it comes down to the 421A tax abatement issue. Some may be cynical, or this may be a cynical view, but the fact that she mentioned the 421 abatement was sort of a marker to say that, like, she's not going to let this tax incentive expire. She wants to keep it in the mix.
Right.
She's branding it as a replacement, but she definitely wants New York City to be involved.
Donna, we have to expire. This was wonderful. Can you not be a stranger? We want to get you back on, and not only about New York City real estate, but really all of these challenges. It's nationwide.
It is.
You know, New York's a bad case, but